The thing with mind bugs is that they're not beliefs. They're just the eyes that you look through. Jung has this quote that says, "Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will determine your life and you will call it fate."
Why don't you take a moment and do that right now? Close your eyes, just be with him, just hold him, just be like, "I'm so sorry you had to go through that. You are an incredible fucking father."
It's lovely that you said that.
Is it true that you made a mistake?
I've made a lot of mistakes in my life.
Is it an absolute truth that what you did was a mistake? What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of my podcast where I coach entrepreneurs on their business. We never know what we're gonna find, so we don't know what to expect, but we'll see where this goes. Today I got Marco Storenka from Luxembourg, Belgium on the show. Marco, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Colin.
So yeah, tell people and me about your business. Where are you at? Where do you want to be? What's your challenge? What do we need to know?
It's really fresh, so I'm really in the startup phase. The name of the business is Reclaim After Alienation, and it started on Substack, and that was based on a lot of journaling the last years. So the main idea is I had a few really strong coaches who changed my life, and because I'm unfortunately an alienated dad, I know where I went through, and I know also that most problems we have as men, as alienated fathers, are more common than we actually think. So I wanted to build a system that could help those guys who are now struggling, thinking they're all alone, feeling like somebody is pulling the carpet from beneath their feet. And I just want to help, do something and really show them, look, there is another way, and it doesn't mean that your kids are taking away or you don't see them anymore. That your life ends here. There's still you, and you can still be the best version of yourself, whatever the whole world is telling you.
Yeah, got it. Okay. So, good work. So you're alienated from your kids. Is it more than one child? What
Just one,
concern?
just one.
One boy or girl?
Excuse me?
Boy or girl?
It was, yeah, she's a girl, so,
And how old is she?
Now she's 16 years old.
Okay. And when did the alienation happen?
It started 7 years ago, and then there was a little cough virus which screwed all things up. That didn't help exactly. So
There was what, sorry?
now that was COVID.
Oh, COVID,
So
yeah.
the No, your first reaction is after being really emotional, you go to court. But COVID messed the organizational part of all those court cases up. When it finally came to court, we were a few years later, and the damage was done.
I see. Yeah.
And the only thing I can say about this, in the beginning, you blame yourself, but then afterwards, I've always been a reader. I think I've read more than 1,000 books in my life. So that's in combination with training and coaching. I started asking questions, started figuring things out, and then you come to the realization at a given point. Okay, somebody's. Okay.
I'm gonna stop you here because I'm noticing a pattern. It's very common, where sometimes you say I about the stuff that happens, and then you jump into saying you. So then, when this
Okay.
happens, you blame yourself, which is just a subtle language thing where we're not taking full ownership of our experience.
Okay,
So it's
okay.
just something to be
Excuse me.
aware of and just notice and just talk I the whole time. It changes. It's one of those like little subtle things that like changes how we feel about, how connected we
Yep,
are to what we're
and
saying. So,
no, indeed, indeed. No, we
yeah.
how I am perceived. No, so first I blamed myself, but then afterwards I threw myself in there digging, and then I found out, okay, this wasn't completely how do you say it? The logical way how things should have happened.
What does that mean? So what wasn't the logical way it should have happened?
In Alienation, there is a general path where it starts really subtle, and it's like a little snowflake starting to roll and becoming bigger and bigger. So first, it starts with getting certain messages through your kids about you.
Oh, wait, let's go
Little
back to saying I. So what happened for you?
so I got those messages I was just talking about, and were those little peeks at you, and
At
that
me, at you?
evolve at me.
No,
I'm sorry. I'm
it's totally fine. Hey, Marco, I love you. I get I totally empathize. I have a similar story, so I totally feel your pain around this. And I'm not coming from a place of trying to criticize you or make you wrong. I'm just really inviting you to make the habit of speaking in I, because it's going to change how you relate.
okay.
So don't feel like it's judgment or criticism. It's really the opposite.
Okay. I started noticing little patterns, little remarks, but those re remarks became bigger, and certain events happened. I don't want to go too far into detail. But yeah, situations got way bigger than they should have been, and in these kinds of especially heavy emotional loaded separations and discussions between me and my ex, and I think everybody who went through such a thing will recognize that reason quickly disappears, and the moment you or I got into that phase of reacting emotionally, things become really difficult, and you or as the person who's feeling targeted, so in this case me, reacted more from an emotional way, and yeah, then I didn't think straight anymore, and that wasn't really helping my case. Okay, then came COVID. Then I got the message. Look, I don't want to come anymore. And yeah. After that point, it was legal battle, COVID, postponed legal battle, all kinds of investigations, which puts me under how do you call it, a loop. So yeah, I had the feeling every move is watched, everything I'm doing, every choice I make in my life is being scrutinized. So even if it's not meant to do that or to bring this effect in you, it does happen. And I found also back in a lot of literature around this topic that this is a general phenomenon happening. Getting the feeling that I was watched, you were watched as a father going through this process, and it takes a really heavy emotional toll upon a person.
Watched for what? Like for you to make a mistake so that could be used against you, or?
That was the starting point, but then there was a moment where, how should I say this? It starts trickling over into other domains of your life. So I noticed afterwards, I became more anxious at work. I was feeling more nervous to make mistakes. And then the snowball is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And before you know it, it's one hell of a ride, but not a pretty one.
So tell me a little bit about, like, what was it like being Marco growing up? What was your family life like?
That's a heavy question. I think in short, really chaotic. In that sense, I've seen a divorce of my parents, which wasn't in the first years was also quite heavy. So it wasn't a decent separation. Then afterwards, I've seen that there were men in my mother's life, but I can honestly say for me, they weren't really the best example I could have. And I know this is a statement that will make some people really pissed off at me, but I'm
I
also at the
mean,
point, as you know, it's for me, it was like that. And I'm open about it, so I'm not going to hide it anymore.
I mean, it's not, it's like, it's hard to, it's a very soft statement, actually. Like, if you listen to it, right? It's like, it maybe wasn't the best role models I could have had. Like, I think every person on the planet can say that about their parents, like, or their stepfathers or whatever it is. So yeah. No, but I understand what you're saying.
Oh, but you know, I know it's soft, but there was a lot of things that happened, and it took me a lot of years before I really understood that wasn't so normal.
So what are some of the things that happened?
Well, I was really accustomed to nightlife. I was really accustomed to I grew up for a large part in bars. That's not the place to grow up.
So what did Marco, how old were you?
Well, when that part of my life started, 7 years.
So what did 7-year-old Marco make that mean about him?
First of all, I wasn't that important. Then there came and now becomes really vulnerable, but there is a large part of those years which was violent. So that also meant for little Marco grow up and try to be the man in the house. But yeah, I no kid has to be a grown up at 7 years old. It fucking sucks.
Yeah, man, I feel you. It's fucking heavy, man.
It's life.
No, I get it, but I mean, like, let's just be with 7-year-old Marco for a minute, right? That was fucking hot, rough. He survived.
He
Great.
survived, but he took a lot of baggage with him into his years after.
So what I'm hearing is three strains here. Like, there's like, I'm not important, right? I'm not important. You said that yourself.
I'm not important. I have felt for a very long time very alone, and I mean really alone. And I used to make jokes about it. Now I realize that those jokes were actually a kind of coping mechanism, a kind of camouflage. But when you take hits as a child, it does something with your self-respect and self-awareness, self-confidence. So, yeah, that.
Can I get you to say that sentence again, but say I.
Yeah. when I took hits as a little kid, it shattered a large part of self-confidence, self-awareness. And I also know if certain old acquaintances or family friends will hear this, first reaction will be, yeah, but you were always the guy with the big mouth. And, I know now that was a shield and that was just an act to let the world not know, or trying to let the world not know that deep inside that something was broken.
So what's the scenario? Like you're 7 years old, you're in a bar, your mom is there, some other men. Like what's the visual? Just give me the scene.
So yeah, we had a bar at home. So I slept above the bar. I often woke up because yeah, there was a party going on. Also not really good for your attention in school. Luckily, I was a smart kid. Think that the most how would I say that? I think that the most important aspect of that whole situation, okay, there was a bar part, but I learned to look over my shoulder constantly, and I've done that until a few years ago. And that's a thing that you also it trickles over into other things in life, and that's a nasty one.
So what I'm getting at if that was if you let's say you were the father or even just like unrelated and you saw that little boy Marco in that situation, what would you do naturally?
I would try to help, but the big question is what's helping? Because
Would you maybe just like go in, hold him, sit with him? Tell him that he's loved, that he matters, that he's important. That
I
this
would
is
do
not
that.
right. This is not fucking right. He shouldn't have to be experience this.
I would do that.
Yeah. Why don't you take a moment and do that right now? Just in your mind. Close your eyes, just be with him, just hold him, just be like, I'm sorry you had to go through. Such a beautiful boy. Such a loving, smart, caring boy. You're still that boy today. You're still that man. Nobody fucking saw him. Nobody gave a shit. Nobody kept him safe. Nobody protected him.
But that was a feeling at home. I do need to say I was very lucky to have my grandparents, so there was always an escape route.
That's good.
But, and I get it. These are your grandparents. They don't have to replace your parents. So, but they really did what they could, and that's that's something I'm eternally grateful for.
Are they still around? Are they still alive?
Unfortunately not. They passed away a few years ago, but they both had a good life. Some really heavy moments. Passing aways, difficulties, but they really achieved something in life, and they also try to learn us, look, work for what you want and go after it. At the later stage of their life, they were a bit more prudent, don't take too much risk.
Sure. Was it
But they
hard for you
were.
when they left?
Yes and no, because my grandfather passed away during COVID, so I didn't have the chance to say goodbye to him. My grandmother, I had the chance to say goodbye, and I honestly can say that I had more difficulties with my grandfather than with my grandmother, because if you can say goodbye and you know it's goodbye, it still hurts, but it's closure. And with my grandfather, and okay, there were other people in my life, that's a difficult one. Even if somebody is at an age where you know, okay, chance is really big that tomorrow I will get a call with this message, but it still hurts.
Give yourself permission to just feel all of this, Marco. Just like there's a lot of emotion here that you've been soldiering on. You're a very brave man. You've just taken it in stride. And I invite you to give yourself permission to just feel all of it, because there's a lot of pain. And you might have a fear that if you allow yourself to go there, that you would break down. Like, I promise you, you will. Like, it won't destroy you. Like, it's
No, it's I do allow myself to feel these kind of things. I also take often the time to just sit with my thoughts and my feelings, and that on only that part was already a life changer for me.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Do you get let yourself cry?
Yes, and also in all honesty, it took some effort before I could allow myself to do that. It's often say I like the song "Boys Don't Cry, Men Don't Cry,"
100%, I
but
get
I
it.
who are we fooling?
It took me, it was years where I couldn't cry. It took a lot of work. So if it wants to come, just let it. So the I want can you see how so the way I look at life is that we come into this world as souls wanting to experience certain mind bugs, as I call them, which are like lies, identity level lies that we believe in, but we want to experience what it's like to live inside of the mind bug so that we can break free of it. And the way that we do it is to orchestrate the events and circumstances in our lives so that we get to experience the mind bugs. And then once we then we get really sucked into them, we live inside of these for however long, and then we start to get awareness of it, and then we get to transcend them, and then we get to experience the freedom of on the other side. And it's really the transition of living from the human part of us, the ego, to living from soul. Like the mind bugs is what keeps us stuck in the 3D in the ego level, and the freedom is when we operate on the level of soul. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and I get what you say. It took also a little bit of time before I got my head wrapped around this one, but in Buddhism, I think the Stoics also do it, and the last book I read was about Adlerian psychology, where they explained that the ego is a construct of place where you live, the values you are that are brought onto you, values you create for yourself, because of your environment and the things you experienced, and that combines with the, there was one phrase that came back in all those books I read. Emotions are often labels we have put on past events that we tend to bring up over and over and over again. And the moment I got that one, that touched so deep, that was like, oh, okay, so it's me actually who's choosing to go into a certain state, while you have every right to feel, and every right to, I have every right to feel myself good, bad, enjoy something, or just being sad. But there are also moments where you actually take an old emotion and you paste it on because you feel
Oh,
threatened,
100%.
and it's not the case.
100%. Yeah, I get it. So the mind bugs that I hear for you, the three that have come up so far, is like, I'm not important. It's I'm not safe. And it's all up to me. Yeah. So can you see if you live in a world, and the thing with mind bugs is that they're not beliefs. They're not like limiting beliefs. They're just the eyes that you look through. All right. It's how you are. It's how the world is to you. It's not like you think you're not important. It's that just like that's the lens that you look through. It's like, I'm not important. So if you're not important, could you see how maybe someone might think that your role as a father is not important?
I can definitely see that. And I would like to add to that. I think the main issue with what you just explained about the mind bugs is that when I was in that kind of state, or when somebody is in that kind of state, unconsciously you start modeling your behavior to what you see through that lens.
Exactly.
And that's maybe the message, also a really powerful message I've learned. You always have a choice. And I combine that always with the question, what if I'm wrong? And that started to put in motion different perspectives, and also for my being completely different reactions to certain situations. Where I can say, okay, 5 to 10 years ago, and I would go all over you. Now I'm more in a relaxed state, and I'm thinking, okay, this isn't even worth of annoying myself or going all emotional about it. Just let it. It happens. It is what it is. And tomorrow there's another day with another event. So,
Totally. Yeah.
I think that's within the I within if you say if that somebody decides that I wasn't important as a father, I can honestly admit that maybe throughout reacting wrongly and based on ancient scripts in my head. That I was a part of me that's also responsible for I wouldn't call it appropriate actions, but I can understand what happened. That doesn't mean I have to accept it.
Yeah, no, 100%. So yeah, the thing is like the mind bug this is like I said, it becomes the eyes, the lens that you look at life through, right? And so the as you're saying, like your mind is gonna look for evidence in what happens to prove that to be true, right? So it's gonna interpret everything that happens through that lens as like, oh, see, I'm not important. It's also gonna manufacture. It's going to alter your behavior, like you were saying, right? You start behaving according to that, and then you behave in a way that then reinforces the view that you're not important. And the key is to recognize, basically recognize the truth. And so the other thing I said is like the Jung has this quote that says, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will determine your life and you will call it fate. Right? So as long
I
as it
get
remains unconscious, it'll just determine what your life looks like. And that's the invitation, is to make it conscious. And you're obviously aware of it. And so I just want to bring it home. So is it true that you're not important?
No, that's not true.
No, it's not at all true.
It's a image that I've put on myself based
Yeah.
on the things that happened in the past.
Yeah.
And I do admit I maybe coped a little bit a little bit I coped wrongly with those mechanisms. But you know, there's a part where you get aware of something, where you understand it, and then when you take action to really try and to improve those aspects in your life. So what Jung said, yes, it's true. I can honestly say for me, I'm not thinking anymore, I'm not important. I have my value. Everybody has his value. But I wanted to make a point and I got off track. I'm sorry. No, what he says is, said is true. And for me, I started to realize this the moment I started meditating and afterwards journaling and really writing out, okay, this event, that event, what is that doing with me? Why am I angry? Why was I angry at my boss? Why do I call that guy in the office a jerk? Or why can't he stand me? Or why can't I stand him? And I noticed, and I've reread a few of my old notes a while ago. In the beginning, it was blaming, 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 and it's not right, and I'm the victim here. And then it started gradually shifting, where I noticed that I moved enormously from victimhood to ownership. And the day you arrive at the point where you can honestly say, okay, I made this mistake, I did that. That doesn't mean that everything that happened has to be tolerated or can be approved because I did something. But it was for me to start from, okay, I'm actually more responsible for a lot of things in my life than I thought.
So let me ask you this. Is it true that you made a mistake?
I've made a lot of mistakes in my life.
Is that true?
That's true.
That's true. Is it an absolute truth that what you did was a mistake or was wrong?
No, because everything you do and action reactions, also the reactions and the answers that come to you, is I always say feedback is data. So when you when I say or when anybody says you learn from your mistakes, you did something, maybe it wasn't appropriate in that context. It can be appropriate in a complete different context. And sometimes, okay, there are also things that are just plain wrong. But when you learn from it and you try to make amends or you try to better your life, it has its value. And it's not because you did something wrong that you are wrong as a person, or I am wrong as a person.
I want you to really play with the idea. Like, what would it feel like if none of what you ever did was wrong, and none of what you will do can be wrong? That you can't do anything wrong, and you didn't do anything wrong ever. What would that feel like?
I find this a really philosophical question.
Like, get out of your head. Allow yourself to get out of your head, because you're very strong in your head. You're very strong mentally. I want to invite you into your body and just like feel, what would that feel like?
I think for me personally, and that's a process where I'm still going through, it would mean much more action and less overthinking.
I like that. I like the sound of that. I mean, really think about it, right? Wrong or mistake is a judgment that we make after the fact. Any
That is.
moment, every action you ever took, every behavior, every decision you ever made, You did the best thing you knew how to do in the moment. All right? You did
Sure.
your very best. And if we can just be with that you did what you did, and then there were consequences, and some of the consequences you liked, and some of the consequences you didn't like, or whatever. And then later you learned this thing, and you realized, oh, like, had that happened today, you would react differently, but it didn't happen today. It happened then, and you did what you did, right? If we can take the whole judgment out of it, then we can just deal with the logistics of it, the mechanics, the physics. All right, this happened, this happened, like whatever, what are we going to do with it, right? But then there's freedom, there's peace, right? And
That
there's
is.
also like this, like you can step out of some of that vigilance of like, I have to do it right. And what if I fuck up? And what do I do the wrong thing? And like, they're always monitoring my step, every move. And like, what if they like that whole world, right? It's very stressful place to be.
Well, I think it's the mental equivalent of somebody putting you a straitjacket on and pulling it tighter every step
Exactly.
you take, and
Right.
it's not good. It's really not
Yeah.
good. It brings you mentally in really strange places.
Exactly. Yeah. So again, what would it feel like? So is it true that you did, yet that you made mistakes? Is that true?
It's true.
Is it true that you made mistakes, that you did something wrong?
I can admit it. And I learned it from it, so
No, but what I want to invite you to consider is like it wasn't a mistake, it wasn't wrong. You're like, no, fuck, it was wrong. It was a mistake.
well, yeah. You're right when you say that I cognitively and mentally I'm strong. I do think about a lot of things and get the points of a lot of things. Indeed, I judge myself also based on certain values. I know that certain a lot of values have been changed. I can give you an example. Since a few years, I have a personal code. So really, principles, standards, values. I read that thing every morning just to keep it in my mind. Okay, this is who you are. And yeah, even now I still say I did things wrong.
Yeah. How does 7-year-old Marco feel when you tell him that?
I think he would have the feeling to not completely get it.
How does he feel?
Lonely and maybe disappointed.
What's the disappointment?
Well, what's the disappointment? If I recall myself well at that age, I was a little bit of an adventurer. I think it would be disappointed that I did everything right according to the book, but then still have the feeling I messed up. And yeah.
And
The
so
work.
my question is, maybe you got it, maybe you didn't, but I just want to make sure. So my question is, when you tell 7-year-old Marco, Marco, you made a mistake, what is his feeling? How does he feel?
Anxious.
Yeah.
Because he expects repercussions.
Right. So I want you to consider that that's the state that you're still living in. So let's talk about the not safe. Where do you feel not safe today?
That's a good question. I think in general, maybe the points where I'm at in life. In that case, that I always believed in a little bit the Hollywood career picture. Well, that didn't happen exactly. So,
Yeah. Do you feel safe in this moment, in this conversation?
yes.
Yeah. So not safe in like that you didn't achieve what you thought you were going to achieve by this time, or?
And indeed, it's the part I didn't achieve what I wanted to achieve. And then simultaneously, there's a part of me, and this I couldn't do a few years ago, but then when I look at myself and what I've done, okay, I'm maybe not the big manager who brings in 250K a year in a company. But honestly, at this moment, I'm also thinking, do I want to be that guy? So manager, I've done a lot of things of which other people, they haven't done it, or they put it away as, yeah, but I don't have time for it. And I don't have time for it. It's one of those mind bugs a lot of people have, which is, yeah, utter bullshit.
So what I'm seeing, Marco, is that there's you're still running. You've done so much work. You're an incredible human, incredible heart, incredibly smart, incredibly strong and resilient. Like you're just an extraordinary human being. You really, really genuinely are. And you're still running a pattern that says, I'm not safe, which I totally understand, right? Growing up in this environment, violence, like always head on a swivel, vigilant, like shit, when is the next shoe gonna drop? What's like, you're look over your shoulder all the time, right? But the pattern is still, I'm not safe. Still some of that, I'm not important. And I'm all alone. It's up to me to do something, and I gotta do everything right. Like I can't make a mistake to stay safe.
Well, I'm not. I honestly am no longer thinking I can't make a mistake. Neither which path I choose, anybody chooses. Everybody will make mistakes. Question is, what do you do with them?
Got it. Okay. Yeah, but there's still an energy of like I have to, it's up to me to do something and I have to get it right is what I'm hearing. What I want you to consider is like is that this whole the values and the codes and the principles and all that stuff is a way to keep yourself on the straight and narrow. It's a way to control your behavior, your actions, so that you can be safe. Like it's all designed around, it's all up to me, and I need to do this to feel safe. It's all up to me to make sure that I'm safe. Right? And what I want to paint as a possibility for you is that when you're really connect with little Marco, with 7-year-old Marco, and feel him and love on him so fucking hard and make him feel emotionally safe by making sure that he's seen, heard, held, loved, and have him understand that he can do nothing wrong. Like he's just that you love him regardless of anything. And you connect emotionally with him. What's going to happen is that you start to just operate from a more natural place where you don't have to monitor your behavior and live according to values and codes and all these things because it's just who you are. It is your nature. You're a fucking good person. And it's not up to you because you as the ego you can't maybe ever feel safe, can't ever get it done. You as a soul can't do it wrong, can't not be safe. And so the more that you operate from the level of soul, which you do by connecting to little Marco, the more you don't need all that. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying stop doing it. I'm just saying it's a coping. It's an adaptation to compensate. It's a compensation for the underlying mind bug of I'm not safe and I'm all alone. And I'm not important to some extent. Does that make sense?
It does. And I'm thinking about an answer, but
You have the answer. See.
no, but you're right, and I do notice. But
Brother, I
and
just
that.
wanted, we just saw a glimpse of another Marcos. When you get the recording of this, like go back and look, because that moment and just right now, like that smile, there's a different Marcos there, or Marco. Yeah, that version.
Okay, I will definitely do that. So I wanted to give because I like to give examples from real life or expressions. I've been a consultant for quite some years, and I've always followed the principle, look, if I don't have the answer, I will say to you, I don't know, but I do know how to find the answer. And I think that was also the motivation behind the whole coaching thing I'm working out now. Even if I'm coaching, I do know that I still have work on myself. The coaches I've worked with, they're still in coaching with
For sure.
probably a little bit more expensive coaches than I can afford, but they're also still working on themselves. So as a human being, there's nothing wrong with working on yourself. There's nothing wrong with me working on myself. It's just, I think, a healthy habit to notice, okay, there are some aspects of me. With me, it's my ego, and it's not the ego of I'm the biggest boy of the baddest motherfucker in town. I'm not. I know. I like to make jokes, and for some people, that comes across as he's always boasting, but. And I know that's a coping too, so
Yeah, and maybe you are the biggest, baddest motherfucker on the fucking planet.
well, I'm not sure about that, but I don't think I'm the biggest pussy neither, so
I think you're way more incredible than you give yourself credit for.
I've started to appreciate myself more and more and to be compassionate towards myself. And also, I can say it, love myself more than I did before. The problem, one of the causes of having that issue with still having that feeling I'm not important enough, I'm not this, I'm not that, is also you I grew up in an environment the slightest meaning of ambition or bragging that you were good at something was keep your mouth shut, just do normal like the rest of us, and then you won't get into trouble. Well, spoiler alert. It doesn't work that way.
You got into trouble anyway. Yes. No, I'm very familiar. Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. So sweet. Yeah, man. You're incredible. You're doing all the work. There's absolutely nothing wrong with doing the work. The only thing is to look out for is if it's coming from a frame of that I'm wrong, I'm broken, and there's something to fix, then you're like, the more work you do, the more you're reinforcing the lie that there's anything to fix. There's nothing to fix. There's nothing broken about you. It's just that, there's some mind bugs and some patterns that are not serving you, and we can get awareness of those, and then we can clear them. But you're not fucking broken, man. You're a tough motherfucker. And with a ginormous heart and an incredible, strong mind.
Well, I believe that.
Yeah. Fucking true, man.
No, thank you. I
Yeah.
appreciate it.
And you're a fucking amazing father, whether your daughter or your ex-wife or her mother recognizes it or not, you are an incredible fucking father.
Well, it's lovely that you said it. I can honestly admit, and that's also one of the reasons that I'm working on this thing. I've walked around for 5, 6 years with the idea I'm the world's most lousiest father that there can be. And a little anecdote, at a point, I was having a talk with my wife. And then she addressed it to me, and I don't know the exact words anymore, but she said something in like, "Why are you thinking that of yourself? I've seen you busy with your kids. I see you busy with your nephew, with your niece, with other kids." Dude. And then there came a kind of joke. My uterus is rambling, so. But that was one of the biggest compliments somebody has ever given to me, and that was a moment I cried.
Yeah, man. You are. You are. And it's like you doing the work that you're doing is such an incredible gift to your daughter. Whether she recognizes it or not, whether she expresses it, even like values it or not, like it doesn't matter. And you, just you, we're connected, through our lineage. And so you working through the pain, the stuff that you've been going through is impacting her in incredible ways. And just most people don't do that. Most people don't even go near that, as you know. Makes
I
you
do.
really stand out, Dad. Yeah.
Well, I can honestly say I can't control what she's thinking. I also made a choice at a certain moment to accept the situation for what it is. But also with a sense of compassion and forgiveness. And you have the expression there's a ton of weight that drops off your shoulder. I've had that feeling the last 2, 3 years, a lot. So if you're saying you're still tense, I can assure you it was way worse.
Yeah, I believe you. I believe you. But just look, when you go back and look at the recording, look at your forehead when we first started talking versus now.
Okay.
Yeah. You're a beautiful man, Marco. And that young Marco, he needs you. I have a book that I've been working on for years. I'm not actively working on it, but I want to get it out at some point. The title is Be the Dad You Never Had.
Yeah.
So the journey of like being a dad to that little boy inside that he didn't have. Like, what would the dream father
be like for him and then be that for him today. Right? And that's also, again, fatherhood, right?
That's true.
Yeah. So just tap into that. Like, what would be the ideal father for him, for Marco, have been like? And just go sit with Marco every day. Set aside 10 minutes to just mentally connect with him, hold him, feel him, and be that fucking dad for him that he never had. Yeah.
I have to smile because I did that exercise a while ago.
Yeah.
I can answer that question quite good.
Nice.
So,
That's sweet. But then just do it. Keep doing it. Keep showing up. Make it a practice. There's something about consistency there that really changes the game. So get into your body.
true.
Yeah.
Our
See what
bodies,
happens.
our body says a lot about how we feel.
Dude, and it's so much.
What's stuck?
And since you're in Europe, if you wanted to pop up to Copenhagen, I would highly recommend that you do that and get some body SDS up there. Because that's been the one thing that more than anything else has helped me really get out of my head into my body with all this stuff.
What was it in Copenhagen?
It's called body SDS.
Body
Body,
STS.
yeah, BODY, body hyphen SDS. As in self-development system dot
Okay.
DK. If you're interested, just hit me up on email. I can connect you with the people there. It's incredible.
Just saved it, so.
Yeah, sweet.
Okay,
Cool.
I will
So,
have a look at it. Thanks for the
yeah,
recommendation.
you bet. So what's something that you know is true now, or what's one thing that you take with you from this conversation?
I have value. I'm a good person. And that's not due to this talk, but I'm now doing those things which I enable me to be that good person to and not to show off to other people because that I know I've tried to do that in the past, but that's exhausting. I don't feel like it
No, it also doesn't matter. One of my favorite quotes is Byron Katie. Have you ever read any of his stuff?
anymore. Byron Katie, no, not yet.
No. All right, check her out. But she has one of her, the things she says is like, whenever I walk into a room, I know that everybody there loves me. Everybody loves me. They just might not have realized it yet.
That's a nice philosophy.
Yeah, it's also true. Because at the core, all of us are love, pure love. That's it. So, of course, they love me. But they might be stuck in their mind books and might disagree, might not realize
Well,
it.
I'm remembering that one. I'm going to look up her stuff.
And remember, too, by the way, this goes too for your daughter and her mother. They fucking love you too. They're just very confused about it and very confused about how they're expressing it, but that's the truth.
I get it.
Yeah.
Oh, but no, maybe just to add something, not to go off track with the love thing, but I learned also, and that's also one of those mind books we extremely hard care about what others would think about us, but when you actually, when I realized that most people after 5 minutes are already forgotten who I am.
Totally. And add to that, brother, that the only thing that you're worried that they think about you is what you already believe about yourself.
That's true. And that brings the cycle back to the point that I said, you're responsible for the choice you make, how you behave, on how you look at the world. because it rays out of you towards other people and they start treating you like that. So that's a fact. But in each case, I'm highly convinced the world can use a little bit more of love.
For sure. All right, my man. It was a pleasure to be with you. Keep
Was
me
a pleasure
posted.
talking to you. So I'm really excited to see the final version of this. And well, hope we stay in touch.
Me too. Yeah, email me. Let me know how you're doing.
I will certainly
And
do that.
cool. Keep me posted. All right,
Okay.
my brother.
Thanks, Calvin. Bye bye.
Love you. You're fantastic.
You
See ya.
too. See you.